diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I'm getting fine, got a sun. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign. Try to take it from me.
Welcome to episode 237 of Fourth and John. I'm Gale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Prime in the building, Chris Malley, and Mr. King Cade over here. Obviously, you get very emotional about catching L's in prime time, you know, as we lost to the Bucks last night. But then you also get emotional when some of your, you know, most beloved Eagle players get traded. Zach Ertz has been traded to the Arizona Cardinals for a fifth round pick and Tay Gowan. Obviously, we're all feeling this picture. We all pretty much can agree that we feel the same way after, you know, seeing Zach Ertz pour his heart out about the city, about the fans, about what it's like playing in Philadelphia. You know, some players you just can't. Some players just get the city and they understand what it takes to become a fan favorite. And Zach Ertz is one of those guys. You'll remember him scoring a touchdown in the Super Bowl, giving 100% effort throughout his career. You know, he's been in the city for so long that it's, you know, it is what it is. Zach Ertz, tight end one. It's been a thing for a while. So obviously it definitely sucks seeing him go out the door like that. And you know, when you it's almost like a breakup, right? You want to see your person succeed. Some people aren't like that, but you know, you want to see them succeed. He's going to a better team, 5-0 Arizona Cardinals. I mean, overall, how are you guys feeling?
I mean, it sucks. You know, again, you grow, you know, so much with these guys. You know, I mean, the guy was on the team for 9 years. His family, you know, it's like a, you know, piece of the family just walks away. And, you know, it's a shame that things didn't work out. You know what I mean? It didn't plan out the way that, you know, he wanted it, what most of us fans wanted it. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's part of the business. You know, that's what it is. It's a business. You know, I definitely wish him nothing but the best. Definitely appreciate his time here in Philly, everything that he did, all the contributions that he's made, especially in that Super Bowl. You know, I mean, he was one of the main reasons why we ended up getting that ring. So, you know, I thank him. And, you know, and all things aside, everybody knows how I am about Julie Ertz. You know, I don't definitely miss her. but, you know, it is what it is. You know, I'm glad he's going to a contender. And I'm pretty sure Arizona's going to go ahead and get the best out of him. They got an upgrade in the tight end position. And, you know, Arizona fans appreciate this dude because he's really going to come through for you guys.
Now, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wearing Zach's high school jersey that luckily I got signed this summer when Gale and I had the pleasure of meeting him. I mean, Zach's an all-time Eagle. He's one of my favorite players and just a true professional. I mean, he had that farewell press conference a little bit earlier, and the guy just wears his heart on his sleeve. He said all the right things, always did the right things. And he really just always gave 100% for the city, and that's why we loved him. I mean, without him, we don't have all the Super Bowl stuff around our houses, and like, Tim doesn't have that shirt, you know what I mean? Like, Zach is a foundational part of this team. Like, him and Kelsey, like, it's going to be sad seeing all these guys go. And it's just really frustrating, though, because it just seemed like his issues were never with, like, the team or the city. It was just the front office. And the whole offseason, it was, like, maybe – it was, like, him going. And then, like, we were getting tips this week that he was going to be traded. I put on the timeline yesterday that Arizona was a likely destination. And then you see him posting all, like, the kind of eerie posts yesterday. And then it was just fitting, though, that he got to have his last game at the link and he scored a touchdown. So I know that – something that he really holds special. I mean, it's just unfortunate, man. I mean, no value really makes you happy about losing a guy like Zach Ertz. He's such a, like, this is a team that's really young and it lacks and any identity. But the one thing that we do hold really close to us is the leaders. I mean, you got Kelce to stay. You got Lane Johnson to stay. Hopefully he comes back or is just doing really well. We're hoping the best for Lane. But when you lose a guy like Zach Ertz in the locker room, it's really unfortunate. I mean, because this is a young team, and he's a guy people look up to as a mentor. And I just know that I think he's going to go to Arizona and ball out. I hope the best for him. I mean, Kyler Murray in that offense is getting a really good leader and a really good player. So just wishing the best for him. He did a lot for the city on and off the field. I know this is his home. His charities are here. So I'm just hoping the best for Zach, and hopefully that someone in our locker room steps up for him.
That's him.
Most definitely, man. You know, to piggyback off both what Prime and Chris said, he's such a good dude, man. And it was – I'm just glad that the ride out was like this. It wasn't like the mess when he was crying, and then, you know, you seen him last year on the field with, I think it was Jason Kelce and Carson Wentz. He went out on top. He scored a touchdown. He played his last game at the Link. Too bad he didn't get that football back. They spiked it so hard. But man, he wears Philadelphia on his chest, and he's a Philadelphia legend. We got to, you know what I mean? If it wasn't for him doing that diving jump and the touchdown and then hitting that in that Super Bowl, we wouldn't have this. We wouldn't. He's coming to the Heat where I'm at. So, man, I wish him the best. I know him and Jordan Hicks are like really good friends. He was here this whole entire summer rehabbing, and he had the surgery and everything like that. He was actually staying with Jordan Hicks. Those guys, they're somewhere. I believe they're up north. It's Scottsdale, so that, you know, that's the glitz and glamour part of Arizona, or Phoenix. And yeah, man, I just wish him the best, bro. I got wind of it that he was gonna get traded on Monday, and I said it and then the cryptic tweets, and then I was just like, man. But I just want to put it out like this. Hey, Howie's not done. Howie's not done. So put your seatbelts on. The team's going to be a little different. Now we're down to 10 guys from the Super Bowl. Don't be surprised if it goes down.
You're muted, Gail. This guy.
I've had that graphic ready for a minute. players that were on the Super Bowl team and who's left. It's kind of depressing when you look at it. But again, it is always a reality when you have to move on. It's tough to move on from really good players, you know. And us being like crazy Eagle fans, we're always talking about getting value for players, and you know, like could you got this value earlier or, but. After hearing Zach Ertz talk about his last game playing in last season, and for it to end on that note, he decided, he's like, you know, that he said that sucked. He's like, I didn't want to end it like that. And the fact that he scored a touchdown last night, had some fun, and got to do it in front of the home crowd, I think that's special. But it is what it is. I mean, like, this Eagle team has problems, and we're trying to figure that out. I guess, you know, we are going to move on from Zach Ertz. He's not moving on in our hearts, but we are moving on as we talk about this football team, because here we are 2-4. How does that sound?
It's not good, but this is also, like, I feel like the hard part of our schedule is really front loaded. I think that we're playing most of the hardest matchups early in the year. I was expecting to really go down. I wasn't expecting 2-4 or anything in particular, but versus the Bucks, versus the Super Bowl defending champs. I know there was a lot of people that were real upset about that loss last night. And honestly, I just looked at it as like, that wasn't a game I was going in there expecting to win. Don't get me wrong. The play calling could have been handled differently. I didn't get to say my piece on Zach Ertz either. I mean, it's a bittersweet moment, man. Cause I always try and look for the silver lining in everything. And I'm not just looking for our asses as Eagles fans. I mean, I love Zach. I respect everything he did as an Eagles. I'm happy that he's going to a winning team. I'm happy that he's going to a team that I think has a legit chance at a run this year. So I'm happy that he's heading there.
And maybe he's able to, you know, get another ring on his finger. But this is one of those things that I feel like we've already mourned for. We've had shows over the past few months where we're talking about, you know, this is probably going to be Zach Ertz's last week. This is going to be his last month. Like, we've been talking about this. It's something we had anticipated this year. I think with Noah Tagai being signed earlier this week, that was kind of a precursor for all this going to happening. And yeah, I'm kind of interested to hear what Mr. Kincaid has to, if he has any little nuggets to share about how much more interesting this can get.
Any players you want to throw out there that might be a potential, maybe like an Allen Robinson?
Yeah. Yeah. So, Chris, you could probably back me up on this. Looks like the deal is getting a lot interesting with Allen Robinson. Also, look out for
Miles Jack. Yep.
Yeah, look out for him as well. And look out for some more defensive ends. We're looking to add another defensive end.
Yeah, they made a call for Cleveland Farrell from Vegas too.
Yeah, they're not happy with Ryan Kerrigan. He's been losing sauce, bro. They're not happy with him.
Or Barnett.
They're super disappointed in Barnett.
Yeah.
He won't be back. So just give that up.
Yeah, the whole Allen Robinson thing that, like, Tim, you and I had talked, but like, it's funny because when you and I talk, like, Matt had not talked. We were hearing from different people, and it just made sense because I mentioned it before the season even started. Like, he's on the last year of his deal. They're not going to keep him. They love Darnell Mooney, and they want to have a young core going forward, and it just made a lot of sense. I mean, obviously, Allen Robinson's not from Philadelphia or Pennsylvania, but he played for Penn State, and I know that he loved just the energy playing in that stadium. And there's just been a lot of stuff going on. Like, yeah, like, he'd be down to come to Philadelphia. And then it just makes sense because right now the Eagles have about $23 million in cap, and it's going to go up astronomically in the offseason. So maybe regardless of who they think the quarterback's going to be in the future, having a guy like Allen Robinson changes a lot because he is a pure number one wide receiver. This is a guy that he doesn't really get compared with the likes of, like, the Devontae Adams, the DeAndre Hopkins, but if you look at the numbers, look at his statistics, the separation, and he never drops the ball. Like, he's a special player, and if you add him to this team and you can buy low, it would be beautiful.
Right, and to piggyback off that, it looks like they want somewhere around a third round pick.
Yeah, because that's the comp they would lose if he walked. Yep.
Right. So that's something where we can, I think, the Eagles can go, and I think from my sources, it looks like it's going to happen. It's just, we just got to hope that Howie don't mess this up and try to pull something stupid. Also, another name that might not be on this team, Jalen Reagor. So which is super crazy to me. They're not excited about him either. I think a lot of it has to do with the off the field issues that he's doing. You know, going back and forth with fans, talking a lot. Yeah, and then also the snap count. You've seen the snap count. Look at Quez Watkins. He is balling out, and he's outperforming Jalen. And Jalen was a first round pick. Quez was like a sixth, seventh round pick. You know, you got to do the math on that one.
I'm hoping like they bring in Miles Jack, because I mean after watching the linebacker play, it's really time to start paying attention here.
Oh, you think we should finally start respecting the linebacker position?
Yeah,
we've only been crying for that since the dawn of this podcast.
Yeah, I mean overall, let's just start talking about the game. You know, like obviously. Obviously, you know, prior to the game, I was on another podcast and people were asking me, like what I thought about a prediction. I don't really like to give score predictions, but 35-21 was my prediction. Mm-hmm. And it was just a matter of if this offense could actually keep up. And again, we're seeing the play calling, as I like to say, Tupac ass. It's been that way for You know, we're talking about six quarters, like, and the fact that Miles Sanders, it's just unheard of to get one carry and a half for a, he's your number one, he's your RB1. You could go from high school, college to what, like any level, your RB1 should never get one carry and a half. We've seen him get three carries in the Cowboys game, or is that two? Two carries in the Cowboys game, and going into in the Panthers game, we're in the mid third quarter. He's got five carries. Like it's the fact that they can't get him going is very concerning.
And it kind of makes me wonder while we're on the conversation of all this trade talk, it seems like they really don't value Miles Sanders. I think that he is an excellent running back to have, and I don't want to get rid of him before I say this, but personally, I'm thinking about Howie Roseman and how this team's operating. If they think that he doesn't really fit in this offense, why would you not try and get some value for him? I mean, Miles Sanders is a guy I feel like could get a really solid return, whether it be picks or, like you said, like a Miles Jack or whatever, a linebacker that could come in here and help our defense.
Yesterday we were watching the game together, me and Gail. We started off on one part of 235, and then we worked our way to a lower section of 235. And then when we got closer, it was just like we saw everything just pretty much falling apart. These guys weren't running their routes correctly. They were like all over. They were confused. I felt like we were seeing the same three plays every damn drive. And then today, somebody it's probably one of the best posts that I've seen going, you know, with this season, the way it's playing out. Somebody had three Tecmo Bowl plays that I swear to God, I felt like were the plays that we're rolling with. Like, it's so predictable. It's the same three. The frustration yesterday seeing Miles Sanders being used at the last quarter, in the last quarter. The last quarter. And you saw what he could do. You saw the damage he's able to do. Please, like, help me understand, what is the deal? Like, why are we not utilizing this man in a better way? I mean, Gail, I don't want to steal your line because, you know, this is all yours. I mean, the man has a patent and everything. But that two-pack of ass offense yesterday was ridiculous, man. I mean, it was bad, man. It was bad. And I was telling him, when we went back to the parking lot, the thing that's keeping me at ease right now is thank God for these tailgates and these road trips that we've been having. Because other than that, this team fucking sucks, man.
Yeah. It took a few weeks for the fan base to come to grips for that. But, like, I feel like we're all there now. Like, we kind of realize that this team, we're not a contender right now. And that's the confusing part for me, is everyone that is freaking out about losing to Tom Brady yesterday. It's like, dude, it's Tom Brady and the Bucks. They won the Super Bowl last year. Gail said himself, he expected to lose 35-21. I had us losing going into that game. And then when the result is actually a loss, people sit here and they're like, how could this happen?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, I do think there's a certain level of, when you start to get close and you're looking at the way the game's being called and you're like, there's an opportunity. But like going back to three home games now that we've been to, more and more people seem to be giving up on this football team. Yes. We saw people walk out, in the fourth quarter of, the first game of the year, mm-hmm. for the 49ers, KC, they're up, 10, fourth, top of the fourth quarter. You're like, oh, we got some time. Now I'm literally watching the Eagle fans leave at half or beginning of the third quarter, and I'm like, and I was thinking in my head, like, because again, I never try to like fan police or anything, but like when we were up, the momentum was sort of shifting a little bit. I was like, what would this crowd be like with maybe 15 more thousand people, 20 more thousand people? Because you look around and people had left. Mm-hmm. So it was just, we're starting to get to an area where, like, again, some people were like, why would you even watch? Like, I see some fans like, I turn the game off. I don't, because it's a part of, like, again, if you're trying to be like evaluate team. It's an evaluation process, and I'm sure that's where the Eagles are with their QB1 at the moment, evaluating the talent on the team. But it can be frustrating when you want to see guys like Miles Sanders get involved, who mm-hmm. got involved at the very end of the game and cracked off runs. And it got to the point, this is where it's how weird it is that Eagle fans are, you know how petty we get. We're given standing ovations when we run the ball.
Touch the ball, yeah.
Everyone starts clapping and cheering. It was like something big happened. No, he got one carry and everyone exploded in petty cheer. And then it's really weird right now.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, it was just there's almost too much to say about that game last night. I mean, the four of us were there. We were tailgating before. Great vibes there. Then you get into the game and it was great energy, and I think the players knew that. And I think the energy of the crowd and just like that veteran leadership, like guys like Zach Ertz, that's what kept them in the game to make it even within remotely close. Because if you don't have leaders like that on the field to keep the young guys up and say, hey, like, listen, like, I don't give a shit what the score is. Like, we're at home. Like, you can't just fall on your knees and give up. Like, that's what kept them fighting, though. I mean, like, that was like the one frustrating thing, because like, it's a multitude of things that's wrong with this team. They have to run the ball. It really is. It's not even high school offense. It's not a college offense. It's like a middle school offense. It's like you're just telling little Timmy and Bobby, like, hey, like, you grab the ball, and he's like, run it or throw it. Like, there's no organization. But the frustrating thing, though, is with the passing plays, Jalen has to make the plays, because if you're at the games, if you're looking at the film, there's people open, and we know that he's throwing the ball high, he's throwing the ball low, he's throwing the ball outside. The pick to Quez Watkins. Quez is going to be a great teammate and say, hey, like, I can go up and try to block it. But that was a major turning point in the game when we're struggling to throw the ball for 5 to 10 yards, and then you take the deep shot, and the ball's inside instead of outside on Quez, and that turnover changed the game a lot. That being said, though, like, it is putting Hurts and this offense in a very difficult position when they know you're throwing the ball. There's very little creativity. And, like, there's, like, nothing, though. Like, you would think that it's literally the definition of insanity, just, like, a madness, just doing the same thing over and over again. And the fans, we're smart fans. We know it. Like, people are cheering, run the ball. People literally know what the play call is going to be before we even break the huddle. Like, that's a problem, because you're not only versing an NFL defense. Like, Todd Bowles is one of the best defensive coordinators in the league. This man has you figured out. And then they have the players. That being said, I need to hats off for our offensive line. They did a tremendous job. I mean, we're missing two all-pro right guard, right tackle right now. And we're going against Ndamukong Suh, Vita Vea, who has just been throwing them beans around all season. And they mm-hmm. held their own. We ended up two sacks. And to be honest, like, our line looked phenomenal. Like, JPP was getting thrown one-handed by Jordan Mailata. But in general, though, like, it's one of those things where you have to tell fans, like, it's not just the quarterback. It's not just the coach. It's not just this or that. Like, it's not a good team. These are growing pains, but we got to figure it out. And you have to make sure that you're not just throwing the game and flushing it down the toilet. Like Jalen says, watch the film, learn from it, talk to each other, come together as a group. Because if you're just going to flush it down the toilet, you're just going to find the same thing in the toilet. And it's the same shit every single week. And until you figure it out, and you try to be like, okay, like, how come I'm shitting so much? Maybe then the team can progress and learn from the failure. And that's how you become a better team.
I hear the comment about that these guys need to look at tape a little bit more. But my thing is, Chris, is like, how much tape is it going to take? Because it seemed like Jalen just kept making the same mistakes yesterday.
I agree.
We were literally sitting over top of Jalen and watching, like, release the ball. As soon as you hike that ball, there was receivers that were open from
wide
the
open.
Grip. From the
wide
grip.
Open.
Like, throw the ball. He's holding it. Then he gets clustered. And then he scrambles. And that line, they just kept on blitzing on him. They were right there. The damn screens, man. Like, it stop with the RPOs and the screens. The shit's not working. Throw the shit in the trash. Get rid of that part of the playbook. It's not happening anymore. They got it figured out. Everybody has it figured out. So it's frustrating, man. Like, it's really upsetting. Like, we could have lost our voice just screaming at Jalen to throw the goddamn ball. Yeah, but I don't know what's up with this dude, man.
You guys happen to see what was trending on Twitter earlier today? There's a certain name.
Howie Roseman?
Mr. Chip Kelly. People were comparing Nick Sirianni to Chip Kelly. I guess it had to do with the fact that Zach Ertz is this star and he ends up getting traded away. And also, I guess you couple in the fact of predictable play calling. What do you remember most about Chip Kelly's play calling? He had like, what, 7 plays and different variations of them. And it made it very, very easy for defenses to figure out what the hell was going on. I'm not by any means comparing the two. I'm just letting you know that other people out there on the interwebs are connecting the dots there. They're the ones that are out there, and the lines are being drawn, man. Like, to me, when I see him being compared to Chip Kelly, who is notoriously one of the most hated people in Philadelphia history, you're in the hot seat, bro. I hate to break it to you, but that's hot seat.
I mean, the theories that are – good.
Do you think if Nick Sirianni doesn't win over 7 to 8 games, he gets fired?
They love him there, man. I think Lori and Howie handpicked him because if you are a young head, like the dude was on vacation wearing like a swim trunk. Like if you are a young head coach, your dream since you're a young kid is to be an NFL head coach. There's only 32 positions in the world for that job. If they tell this guy, hey, man, you can be the coach, but we're going to be telling you things here and there, he's probably like, shit, yeah, I don't care. It's literally your dream job. That's why you're not going to get all these other veteran guys to come in here, because they're like, I don't want to put up with that, because you know it's true. There's too much smoke for there not to be a little bit of fire that the front office is influencing a lot of things. So could there be enough fan outrage to get Sirianni out of here? Of course. But I think at the end of the day, Howie and Lori are usually the problems.
I mean, I feel like they got their guy. Like, this is the guy that they could sink their teeth in. Yes. This is the guy that's not going to give them an issue. I mean, I said it from the beginning. I said, this is the Fisher Price head coach. My first head coaching gig. And it's not a knock on Sirianni. It's just the idea and the concept where you're Howie and Lurie and like, which guy comes in here that we can have our way. You know, it's what is it, Burger King, where you can have it your way? Yeah. This is they can have it their way. Like, if you think of any other veteran head coach that would come in here, they have the parameters. Like, no, this right here is off limits. You do not mess with this. There's no limits. They are the no limit soldiers in that office. They're saying, this is what we're doing. We're involved. Let's
talked about it. Jason Avant said on the podcast last week, like, the front office has a lot more influence in Philadelphia than anywhere else. And he's just starting it out there because he's not trying to throw shade on the organization that he loves and played for. But this is a front office where it is known. And they even put out a vote, and they talked to agents and GMs and said, who's the least trustworthy GM? Howie Roseman got all the votes. And you hear it from different people. He has his hands in a lot of stuff.
I mean, that's it's dysfunctional. You as I get it. If I was the owner, I wouldn't have some say too. But if you don't know shit about football, stay your ass up out of there. Because at the end of the day, though, bro, like, this is what's going on. Howie is basically saying, "Hey, I'm going to take the blame." Jeffrey is saying, "This is what I want." Like, the whole passing shit, that's all Jeffrey Lurie. He loves
it. Yes.
He loves it. So, but for me, though, you can't just throw the ball 60 times, man. You're going to put your quarterback in harm's way to the point he's going to be, you know, we're going to be talking shit out of to him, and he's going to be out of here. This is Philadelphia. This is hard to play in front of us. You know, I it's so frustrating.
Oh God. I mean, just overall, you start thinking about, like, you know, the identity of this football team, whether it be offense or defense. You talk about Gannon's defense being so conservative. You know, the whole idea of bending and not breaking, but, or just having that presence, man. Like, there's no, I can't tell you what, like, dictating. You want to see your offense dictating the game, or you want to see your defense dictating the game. Like, it seems like we conform versus like dictating who we are as a, you know, identity of a football team. So I feel like at the end of the day, like, I still don't understand who we are. Getting back to Jalen, which is, I mean, he's the most important part of, you know, the team, being the quarterback. They do not play to his strengths. You know, there are some deficiencies in his game, but like, again, with any young quarterback, there's going to be those issues. Now, playing to his strengths with a running game, with play action, making things look different. I keep saying it every week, window dressing, you know, formations, and the way that our offense is set up and the way that we line these guys up, what you see is what you get. And if you watch enough, like, I've heard many football players out there, ex-football players, talk about the Eagles offense and seeing the alignments and watching film, you should know exactly what we're doing. And by, you know, putting JJ on the field, or, you know, Gainwell on the field, or you like that, you can see that our screen game is figured out.
It's 100% figured out. And like, the one thing that I really realized after that Kansas City game, and granted, it's Andy Reid, and he's a really creative play caller, but just watching him and all the creative types of screens that he was doing, the way that he's able to just get guys open, like Nick Sirianni, like we've been saying, it's the same plays over and over and over again. It makes it way too predictable. I feel like Nick Sirianni doesn't have – it could just be because he's got the Fisher-Price tag still on, but he doesn't have that kind of creative play calling yet at all with his packages. And it's resulting in the fact of – what do we have here? 115 passing yards. And about 100 rushing yards. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. 215 total yards yesterday. That's what was on that screen. Listen, let's cut all the bullshit. Nick Sirianni is getting double fisted right now. All right. That's what he's doing. He's getting double fisted right now. He's enjoying it because he ain't doing anything to go ahead and change. He keeps on coming in here every week with the same shit. So it's just like, we sit there and we're here supporting the team for what? For what, to get the same outcome? It's like, we can't get anything going, man. I mean, that first drive, I mean, look, me and Evan walked into that building and he said it. He pointed it out. The vibe, the feeling going into that stadium wasn't there. And I was hoping he was wrong. I'm like, nah, man, I got a good feeling. And fuck, I'm looking around. All right, I got a good feeling because nobody else got that feeling, but I got a good feeling. I go in there after that first drive. Fuck, there goes my feeling.
Yep.
There goes my feeling. You know what I mean? Like, seriously.
I
thought we were going to get to the point where they were going to score on every single drive, like Kansas City basically did.
It really felt like I was walking into a funeral in that game. And, like, don't get me wrong, the pregame tailgate was lit. Had a great time there. Walking into the stadium, it's just – I don't know, man. It's just – it's one of those, like, feelings that you can't describe. It's just within you. When we were walking into the 49ers game, the one that we ended up losing, when we were walking into that game, I'm telling you, the like, energy level was off the charts. And I was just like, it was kind of one of those feelings of like, we can't lose today, even though we did. But like, the feeling was there. I was walking in last night, I felt like I was walking into a funeral. I feel like everybody was hyped to be there watching the Eagles primetime game. But ultimately, we're going up against Tom Brady, and we all had the feeling that he was just going to, you know, drop it on us.
You know, Nick Sirianni had his presser after, and I was like, I don't even want to hear what you have to say. Because, I mean, and I'm not trying to be like, you know, kill the coach here, but I'm just saying, because it's at this moment.
You're not trying to do what Drew Johnson wants to do.
I'm just saying, it's like whatever he's saying. I'm a little concerned with, like, all right, how is this being perceived in the locker room? Like, now you get to a point where you start catching L's, and, you know, players start, you know, pointing fingers. You know what I mean?
Did you see Devontae Smith walking to the locker room?
Yo, he looked upset.
He was like, man, I'm sick of this shit. That's what his exact words was. He's like, I'm sick of this shit. It's like, this shit is trash. He walked in. Miles Sanders was like, man, he had my man's jersey. He walked in and he's just like last game against the Panthers. When he ran out of bounds, it was by accident. You know, he did twice. I get it. I understand. Don't torture me for that. The way he spiked the ball, though, he's frustrated because this play calling is trash. Yep. I'm so tired of the RPOs, bro. We got to get rid of that shit. And quit lying to us because we're Eagle fans and we're educated. RPOs are not a run play. A run play is a run play. Quit that shit. That shit is not working over here. It's not working over here. You need to quit that shit, yo. For real. We're going to end up running your ass out of Philadelphia.
Now, Julie has a comment. Do I still even want to travel from Texas to Las Vegas next week? Yo, I mean, these are the vibes that I'm getting from Eagle fans are selling their tickets.
Yeah, but let's be real. If there's one team in the NFL that's more of a train wreck than us right now, it's Las Vegas.
No, but I'm saying the whole idea is like this. I'm hearing this a lot from fans. Like, I don't want to travel to watch this team play.
Yeah.
You know, like I am selling my season tickets for the rest of the year. Prices are going down to watch an Eagles home game. Like, that's not normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you had a lot of those guys. Yeah, you know, shout out to the West Coast Swoop Nation that ended up showing up at the tailgate yesterday. Rob, Rico, the ladies that were with them, you know, Nick, and we had a couple other people from Cali, from Sacramento or San Francisco, something like that. Yeah, man, but they came in and they've been hyped up about Vegas. Some can't make it because of the fact that when that game first popped up, it was like at 700. Those things dropped down to $200 and still dropping. Now, I get it, the whole vaccination thing, you know, we're not going to go in and touch on that subject, but we're talking about two both teams that both suck right now. Well, are going through a train wreck. I'm sorry. Because, you know, the Raiders are who everybody thought they were. And then John Gruden getting booted out of there. And then shit. Now there's probably definitely saying that about us.
Well, I mean, I try to find like little things that you could like dissect. And the fact that you lose the right side of your offensive line, like you losing Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks, it's a huge blow. You lose Brandon Graham, huge blow. You know, you lose Isaac Suamalo. That's a huge blow. But again, when you start seeing them perform, and some of the younger guys, you know, their backups are coming in and performing, it gets down to the little things, whether it be coaching. I mean, coaching is, I think, the you know, the biggest difference maker. Mm-hmm. You know, I think some people are going. I think some people are now asking the question, like, is Sirianni in over his head? Do Howie and Lurie dictate what he's doing on the field? Do they want to see him pass and put him in these situations where, because they want to see that what they can get the best out of him before they have to go ahead and try to bring someone else in here to take his job? So they're putting him in these situations to see what he does, putting him in the fire. But I still think at the end of the day, you can put him in the fire, play to his strengths.
And that's kind of where I'm. Do you feel like Jalen Hurts is being exposed at all, or do you think it's just poor play calling?
I just think all young quarterbacks have issues in their game, but you have to play to those strengths. Like, you know, like I just feel like, just like Carson Wentz got gun shy a little bit after taking hits and, you know, not being comfortable with who's in front of him. You lose Brandon Brooks, you're not going to feel as comfortable as, you know. You're like, Brandon Brooks is Brandon Brooks. Right. How many sacks has he given up in his time here?
Yeah. And you look at the formula. I mean, not to take a note out of Dallas Cowboys playbook, but when Dak first got there, they ran the hell out of Zeke Elliott to assist Dak in his progression, his growth. And that's exactly the type of thing I think we should be doing with Miles Sanders. He's a good running back, and we should be leaning on him for Jalen Hurts' success, instead of throwing the ball 40, 50 times a game, man. It's not how you're going to win games with a young quarterback who hasn't even doesn't even have a full season under his belt, throwing the ball just way too many times in the game. Mistakes are going to happen.
if it was anybody that you, I mean, how would you want to talk about some positives on a Monday?
Yeah, might as well.
I mean, when I play ball and you catch an L, the worst was watching the film in front of your team and your coaches get, because you knew where you messed up and you just hated to watch yourself get reamed. And you're just like, dude, called out in front of the team. But this is Monday. This is what I guess you're supposed to call out the negatives on Monday after an L. This isn't Victory Monday. So any other negatives you guys want to point out?
I got one or maybe two. Number one,
NFL,
for the NFL. Yo, these taunting penalties got to go. This shit is trash, bro. What is going on here? This is football. Grown-ass men.
Oh, man.
This is crazy. Bro, if Gerard Avery really got a 15-yard penalty for getting up and just doing this, what happened to every time Antonio Brown caught the ball, he did it
That's
every
what
damn
I said.
Time.
I said that. Why didn't we get that?
Like, what the hell was that?
I said, yo, I know I'm probably sounding real petty right now, but that's a taunt. That man keeps on getting up and putting his chest out and talking about, that's a taunt. Is that not a taunt? And he did it three times. Thanks. All right. And then today I'm looking at some of the videos. We got pass interference called on us three times. Yo, they were all over our receivers yesterday. Rager, Watkins. I mean, these things, you pause it and you see where their hands were at and where the ball was at. Too early. No calls. Then that lady, shout out to the lady. Appreciate the females now doing their things as being referees in the NFL. But, man, you came from the end zone to go and overcall a referee that was literally in front of the play and said it was an incomplete pass. How the hell does that work? And then the head referee is going to go ahead and acknowledge it and make the call and say incomplete. What? What? What is going on, man?
Okay, and then my number two is, and this is positive. You see what happens when you run the damn ball? Do you see what happens when you run the damn ball? The offense opens up. Run the goddamn ball. That's all.
Maybe Sirianni's playing reverse psychology. And because Miles Sanders, anytime he touches this ball now, he runs fucking angry, man. He runs angry. So is that what he's doing? He's trying to deprive him of the ball so he runs angry as hell.
I see where you're going with this, Evan. That's
I see where you're going. Okay. Yeah. Another one is
go run the ball.
That was an interception. That was an interception. I don't care what nobody says. That was an interception by Marcus Epps. He
got his hands underneath him. 100%. 100%. 100%.
Shout out to him. Shout out to Alex Singleton. I mean, you look terrible in that, but that play, you did a good job. You know, and then JG, whatever, I can't even, terrible defensive coordinator. Yeah, I mean, I guess it was like 3rd and 11, 3rd and 12, and he actually blitzed. I was happy with that.
Yeah.
Now David has a comment here. David Johnson, he says, just think and look at how other teams treat their young QBs and how they cater the offense to them. Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Baker, Lamar, Dak, and then look at us. I mean, at the end of the day, they really have to look in the mirror when it comes to playing to your player's strengths. You can go from Jalen, you can go from, you know, Miles Sanders. You can, like, playing to our player's strengths. It's like how I've seen other things like, oh, maybe they figured out that Miles Sanders is a trash back. I'm like, did you see him break off runs? Like, why would that not be utilized in your offense or a part that is, you know, his game-breaking speed? Why wouldn't you utilize that in this offense, which is struggling? And the fact that you can't, I can't get over. I'm losing sleep now.
Do you think it really comes down to the offensive line injuries? Do you think that he doesn't trust this offensive line pushing the D line forward or what?
I mean, creating, but it's big. It's at the end of the day, it's like basic football. Like you still have to keep you know, defense is honest, and you still have to, you can't, again, now you're dictate, you're letting the defense dictate to us because we can't run because no, like, I mean, you still have to run. You got to keep, you got to keep defenses honest.
It's a good valid point, but at the same time, Evan, it's like Miles already proves that he could do it with the line that we have.
Mm-hmm. Even last year.
Proving that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and exactly. Last year as well. But I mean, like last night, I mean, come on. The minute he got that ball, you said it yourself, he ran mad. He's mad when he's running. You know what? Keep running the goddamn ball because he's mad.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Exactly. He's so mad right now. And we
let him blow
so
off some steam.
Let him go. Let him go. Exactly, man. And look, the same thing. Devontae's now mad. Throw that boy the ball. All right. Because he ended up I think he ended up messing up Sherman yesterday after two plays. And look, Sherman had to step out. All right. Yo, these kids, man, they got the ability to do stuff, but you gotta utilize them right. Nick, what is going on? What is going on, man?
Yo, and another bright star, man, Quez Watkins. He wants the ball. He's different, bro. He's different. Like he just stands out. Like, yo, I want the ball. Give me the ball. And shout out to Gail for, you know, he customized his shoes. I was literally about to say
yeah, there was certain the pop off of Quez Watkins kind of coincides with when he received those shoes. So I'm not saying that was
star power,
Gail,
man.
But
they're like the Jordans and like Mike.
I'm gonna need that. Thank you. I need that. Thank you for my man Gail. He needs it, yo.
You know what I'm saying? No, I gotta thank you in person when at the Eagles Autism Challenge. But I you know, it's funny because I bumped to a Quez Watkins stan like during tailgating. I was just passing out some beers to some folks. Shout out to Bud Light, by the way, for the for the beer at the tailgate and Conchie. Mm-hmm. He was just like over the moon. He's like, Quez Watkins, I love Quez Watkins. He was like, I have to meet him. And just the love for Quez Watkins. I was like, man, I was like, Quez Watkins in just a short year has become a fan favorite of a lot of people. I mean, because at the end of
great
the day,
story.
But at the end of the day, this is what we're looking for from our team. We're looking for guys who consistently show up, consistently do the right thing. When their number is called, they're making the catches. They're not saying anything. They're just doing their job. And a guy who has consistently showed up from every single practice we watch, training camp to open practices to preseason to now the season, that's just been his lifestyle. So we're looking at other players on this team to do the same. Even we're looking at the head coach. Like, can you be consistent with the play calling? I mean, is that too much to ask? Now, again, if Quez Watkins is the consistent award winner, I think he's just been that dude this whole season.
Mm-hmm. Especially with the deep balls, man. Especially with the deep balls.
Yeah, Quez is balling out, man. I mean, like, we see it. When you're at the game, it's a little bit easier than seeing it on TV because the camera guy can just get so hyper-focused. But, like, man, these guys are open, man, especially Quez, and he just has that one for the ball. And Rager, man, he needs to step up in a lot of ways. But even without him last night, we're, like, a lot of drives aren't happening because he had, like, what, like 90 yards in pass interference and should have had, like, way more too, man. Like, our receivers were they had like cornerbacks on their back like backpacks last night. It was crazy all night, and even the Quez in the back of the end zone play, dude's literally just like right in his face, pushing him out of bounds.
Yes,
it's driving me crazy, man. And that's literally right in front of me in the end zone spot, and I'm like, it drives you crazy. But in general, though, like Devonta Smith's barely getting any targets right now, and like for weeks Goddard wasn't even getting targets. Like, they gotta get these guys the ball, and whatever we're doing right now isn't working. So you got to get creative, more mesh concepts. But like, that's what's annoying though, because like, if they are worried about the limitations of Jalen's arm, screen passes don't work if you run 15 plus of them, because defenders are just going to move up on that. You have to get creative. And the problem is, like, they tried to do the pick plays, and then Ward messed it up, and then it's like, all right, now we can't do it anymore. It's like, no, that works. Just don't have bad technique when you do it, and don't make it obvious.
Now, David says, guys, when is the last time we ran out of single back formation inside the 10-yard line? Why are we running plays out of shotgun that close? I mean, that's just everyone's kind of tired of that.
On the last show, I mean, we mentioned how we need to put a stop to the flat routes inside the 10-yard line. All we're doing is moving backwards. I think we should add that to the list as well, the shotgun runs.
Now, Will has another good statement, Will Mallon. He says, I heard Ross Tucker say something very similar on the radio this morning. He said that Hurts is not only being evaluated against this backup, his backups, but every free agent quarterback potentially next year, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson. And I really do feel that is the vibe with this front office. I feel like it just doesn't smell right, man. Like I feel like there's just internal struggle and just, you know, I heard something from, you know, thoughts from the inside about, just saying how much of a struggle it looks like on the inside right now, especially offensively, what's going on, the struggles are real. And I know just like what we're seeing and we're thinking, that's what it's going on inside. So obviously they're concerned, you know, it's real. It's real. So,
yeah.
But you didn't see any bright stars out of the defense. I have to say one, and that was Avante Maddox. He's been having a good year. Play recognition, man.
Great year.
He looked that play. He blew up that play. I mean, he got us off the field. So I want to give a shout out to him definitely because he's.
Yeah, me and Gail pointed that out yesterday. I mean, at one play, with the long hair and everything, I thought it was Singleton that made the play, and I was like, okay, Singleton. And then Gail corrected me on it. It was like, nah, that was Tay-Tay. I was like, okay, now I see the two. The hair was in the way, but yeah, Tay-Tay was definitely doing his thing yesterday, man. He stepped up, and I remember that third down conversion that he ended up stopping. So yeah, that was good.
Mm-hmm. I think everyone can agree with this thought here from David. He says, can we trust this front office to draft a linebacker in the first round? Like you don't have to get him in the first round, but just make it a priority.
Make it a priority.
No, I think the key part of that statement, though, is the first three words. Can we trust? No, I can't trust this front office, bro. Can't trust them to do anything.
Wait, you think about Chuck Bednarik, you think about Trotter, you think about like these guys who man the middle of the defense. And you think about our linebackers. When I think of our linebackers, words that come across my mind are make tackles seven yards downfield, out of position.
Small.
I tweeted out last night. I said, Tom Brady is treating the middle of the field like it's 7-Eleven because that shit is always open.
Always open.
Bro, he was crazy, dude.
It's just so bad because 2 years ago, we were all on the same stream saying, take a linebacker, Logan Wilson's there. We didn't take Logan Wilson. He's already now a top 10 linebacker in the NFL, and he's about 23, 24 years old. Last year, we were saying, JOK, he'll probably be a top 15 prospect. Because of a medical red flag that never existed, but because of COVID, they couldn't test him in time, he falls all the way to the second round. We're like, if you don't take him in the second round, you're nuts. He's a top 15 prospect. Right now, he's been graded in the top three linebackers in the entire NFL. Not rookies, NFL. And it is mind-blowing that it's just like year after year, they just always just don't take the obvious guy. And it's just like, oh, wait, that guy tore his ACL? He'll be good in 3 years. He's not even on the team. You take Clayton Thorson. It's just like all these picks, man, and it compiles.
And a couple years before that, I'm like, get Fred Warner, guys. Fred Warner's going to be a good dude. Fred Warner's balling the hell out. Like, and you didn't even have to draft because he slipped in the draft. And they're I don't know. I think you're just going to have to send your resume in, Chris. No, I mean,
they probably Googled my name and Howie. I'm like, nope, he can't be within like 50 yards of him.
I just want a big body linebacker, man.
Like you were mentioning guys like obviously Chuck Bednarik and Trotter, but like JOK, like Chris mentioned, like a big body linebacker that could just fill a hole, man. Like,
bro,
God,
we haven't had that since DeMeco Ryans.
I know,
like a big linebacker.
Yeah,
that can you know do it all? DeMeco Ryans was the last one we had, or Jordan Hicks, but he stayed injured.
Hicks maybe, yeah.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? But you know,
Nigel Bradham was decent size. I mean,
but it is very hard to find that athletic big linebacker that can you know roam the field and get sideline to sideline. No, I mean even you know we talked about Jabril Cox taking a shot on him. A rangier linebacker who can play in space, but the Cowboys drafted him, and you see that it was easy for them to even get rid of what's his name, Jalen, because you have the linebackers you got coming behind them. I mean,
and it only gets harder because of the fact that you let those linebackers slide through, man, to other teams. That's why it gets harder. But we had it. We had literally everything put on the plate for us to just go ahead and grab, and we missed out on it, man.
Watching the Cowboys, you know, absolutely ball out with Micah Parsons, that's a guy we kind of we talked about, we had our conversations about. We didn't exactly want to do, but we all respected him as a player in this league, absolutely. And that's the type of team that's willing to take a chance on it. And honestly, right now, they're winning because of it.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you talk about missing. Mark says missing the BG, the heart of the defense. 100%. You've now lost. In all honesty, you've lost one of the leaders, in Brandon Graham for the defense. You've lost Zach Ertz, one of the leaders on offense as a leader. Who steps up? Who becomes those voices? I know BG obviously from the sidelines can do some of that stuff, but when bullets start flying, you know, it's always nice to look over at your, you know, the alpha of the group to get you guys like, yo, let's do this. Let's like wreck shop. So it's like, man.
And I hate to throw salt in the wound as well, but I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if this ends up being Kelsey's last year too.
Did you hear Zach Ertz in his presser talk about he was talking to another player in the locker room who's about 1 year away from like, you know, like, why did you come back? Or just because he didn't want to go out the way he did.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, all right, who's that dude? Is that Kelsey?
It's got to be Kelsey. Yeah.
But
you're talking about like those glue guys, the leaders in the locker room. That's going to be another huge loss when Kelsey walks out the door, man. That's another guy that is the one of the heartbeats of this team, just like BG.
Now, just Brad, like Brad saying fire sale. YYC Eagles is saying Fletch is next. Brad follows up
can't
with
move
what
the contract.
The contract's kind of crazy.
If he had a movable contract, he would have been gone by now. It's like if we would have, like, what, $70 million in dead cap space between him and Wentz because of the way Howie structured it?
Yeah, so get that thought
in. He also has a whole bunch of dummy years, isn't it? He has a dummy year on there? Like 2 years?
I think there's, like, there's, like, 2 years. Yeah.
It's, like, a dummy year. So we'll see.
So, I mean – Are we going to talk about some positives as we get nearer to the end of this podcast?
Oh, we'll bitch and moan for 58 minutes, and then we'll give you a minute and a half of positivity.
Hey, are we being negative Nancy's or negative? Bro, Victory Monday is a different beast. I'm like, we caught L on a Monday. We're going to talk about all the things that we've seen. We're going to keep it real as we always do here, but this is going to be a weekend where you got Sunday free. What are y'all doing on Sunday? I'll start with Prime.
I'm gonna go do some housework, man. I'm gonna try to stay away from some football. I'm just gonna keep up with it on the phone.
Yo,
I'm frustrated.
Prime was like, yo, for real, real talk, Sunday, I might sleep.
Yeah, I might sleep too. That's
all
that
day
was.
Long.
Yeah.
Tim, what you doing on Sunday? Without Eagles
thing.
Football.
Definitely gonna try to sleep in, but let's see if my daughter will let me do that.
Yeah. these three can't relate to they can't relate.
Yeah, I understand.
dad life. Chris, what are you doing on Sunday?
Softball in the morning, cousin's bowling birthday party in the afternoon. So I'm just gonna imagine the pins are on his face. So
fair enough.
Yeah, Mark said
don't forget to change your Pampers in the middle of everything. All right?
Mark said he's packing for Vegas. David says his positives are Devontae and Quez are the truth. If we can get a big body receiver to pair with them, Goddard, Tyree Jackson, and running back are always good. Don't forget Allen Robinson.
I'm excited for Tyree Jackson, man. when he gets back.
Is his back healed up?
Back this week or next?
It was never injured.
Can I just mention one thing? I mean, David brings out a good point. These are all positives. Don't get me wrong. Definitely. I agree. But the positives can easily turn into negatives when these guys get frustrated, man. If we don't get our shit together, if this coaching staff doesn't put a better game plan together, you saw it yesterday. You saw Devontae. He was hot. I mean, damn, dude, this is just rookie season, and he's already hot. All right? So we gotta think about the other players on this team and keeping their their mood on a steady level. Cause you start pissing these guys off, man, they're gonna all give up, and you're gonna get a lot of requests to get the fuck out of the
team. I mean, Devontae ain't giving up. I just think he's frustrated.
I agree with Gale. I think you can kind of see the difference between the people that. Like a guy like Jalen Reagor who turns around and snaps back on fans, and he'll go and say his piece because he gets all butthurt about what people have to say in his DMs, which they shouldn't be in his DMs regardless. But that's another story. It's gonna happen, man. It's the product of being a Philadelphia athlete. Whereas I think Devontae Smith is more of a guy who is more capable of just turning off the phone and letting that kind of fester in his mind and charging him up during workouts and whatnot. I think he's got his head on straight. Where, I mean, I'm not saying Jalen doesn't, but he's definitely had some things that make me question it.
Yeah, bro, you could say he doesn't have his head on straight. I mean, yesterday after that one play that ended up getting that didn't work out, it looked like him and Jalen had some words on the sideline. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, dude, that was you. Like, the ball was there, you didn't catch it. So how are you going to put it on the quarterback?
Yeah.
So, I mean, come on, man.
Yep.
So, Evan, what are you doing on Sunday?
Well, I mean, honestly, most of the Sundays during the year, we're usually down there tailgating. And as fun as the tailgates are, it's a lot of work to put those tailgates on. So I'm going to be enjoying my time chilling on the couch, drinking some beers, going to cook up some meats on the grill, just going to relax all day and watch football. It's going to be fantastic. Do nothing. It's my kind of Sunday.
Yo, Herm can get down on grilling and cooking.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I was there for a nice Philly cheesesteak.
Yes, sir.
And a burger.
Yesterday, I overstepped my boundaries, man. I ended up having two.
He couldn't help himself.
Yeah, I couldn't help myself. I had two.
Yo, against the Niners, I tipped him $20 just because I was like, yo, appreciate you, bro.
Appreciate you.
Man, good.
You know, I will be on Sunday. I'll be going to Rehoboth Beach.
Nice. Officially booked.
You need it, bro.
I hope you get everything out of that trip that you want.
Yeah. Man, we need to just. I'm gonna look at the water, chill with the lady, and just like, yo, I'm not thinking about no Eagles. I'm not thinking about no other teams. We just need to. When I'm looking at the Eagles, it's like it's not me. It's definitely you. We're gonna take a little break. I'll see you on Monday. You know what I mean. So I mean, overall, I just think as much as a rough game it was yesterday and a rough today with Ertz being out the door. Hats off. We had a great time at the tailgate. Once again, shout out to Bud Light for powering the tailgate. Shout out to Conchi for bringing the tomato pies. We're fire as usual.
Pies.
And even Conchi, even Conchi knew what was up because they put Run the Ball on our tomato pie. So they know. Shout out to all the people that came to the tailgate and had a good time.
DJ.
Yeah, DJ Lowski.
DJ Lowski as well. Always a good time with DJ Lowski. And also NFL UK stopped by the tailgate. They did a little segment down there. Hopefully the Eagle fans that were at the tailgate had a good time with that. And we also did a message to Brian Dawkins for his book, Blessed by the Best. Go check out that book. Very inspirational. But overall, man, I think we have let it all out. We've been – there was one full hour of getting something off our chest. Right? You guys feel better?
Yes. I guess that's right. And the adjective I could use.
We just need a couch. We just need a couch. All lay there, you know, and say how we feel. Hey, shout out to Will. He's in Tucson, Arizona. Shout out to Will.
Arizona squad. Arizona.
AZ. Desert in the house.
Oh, man.
Why couldn't we get Christian Kirk?
Listen, it was there. That's the thing. It was there. The issue was, though, they didn't want to give up the pick. So basically, what it was, they wanted Zach, right? We wanted Christian Kirk. If we wanted Christian Kirk, they were like, "Well, if we're going to give you Christian Kirk, you're going to give us a third." That's what they wanted.
Make it happen, guys.
Howie said
come on.
No. Howie's like, "No."
Come on.
Or just learn how to draft wide receivers.
Imagine if we could, and then you could trade Rager, get something back.
This guy, we have officially gone off the rails.
Just so you don't know, that's the final word right there.
Right? That's the last word. But for me and the boys, we'll see you guys soon. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.